Does that sound take you back to a more innocent time when we thrilled to real acrobats and real animals instead of Fear Factor and the Discovery Channel? Or does it bring on the sheer dread of being accosted by a clown?
Send in the clown.
Or terror of being trampled by an elephant? How about all of the above?
It's showtime under the big top.
From WNYC and Public Radio International, this is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. We are talking today about circuses, and our featured attraction is Kathy Day. Kathy grew up in Peru, Indiana, a town where acrobats and sideshow freaks and elephants and their trainers used to rest in the off-season. In her book of stories, The Circus in Winter, she's created a town very much like the strange one where she grew up. Kathy Day, welcome to Studio 360.
It's an honor to be here.
So your hometown in Indiana is this historical circus town, but even more than that, your family has been involved in the circus for generations. So growing up there around the circus environment and circus people must have just seemed like a kind of ordinary fact of life to you.
It was. I grew up knowing that people that I knew as merchants or as doctors used to perform with the Hagenbeck-Wallace Circus. I didn't realize that how special that was, actually, until I left. But the time period that I grew up there, the circus was gone. It was no longer performing anymore. But you still heard stories, quite a few stories growing up.
And were there family stories and legends that were a big part of your family tradition?
My great uncle Fred, it was his father that got killed by the elephant. And it actually was something that was a kind of a sore spot. You weren't actually supposed to talk about it when Uncle Fred was around. It happened in 1901, and the circumstances are rather mysterious, but that was one of the things that I wrote about quite a bit in my book, was the stories and the different versions of stories that I heard growing up about how that happened.
It does sound mysterious. It was really like the elephant sort of murdered him.
Yes, he did. We do know that he threw him up in the air. He landed in the Mississinewa River, swam to shore, and then the elephant held him underneath the water with his trunk and feet until he drowned. The question is why? Why did he do it? But we do sort of know how it happened. And then growing up, the skull of that elephant that killed my great-great-uncle sits in the town museum.
Did you always, growing up, want to write about the circus?
Actually, no. The thing I've tried to tell people, and I think only the kids who grew up in Peru with me would understand this, is growing up in a place like that, you think that the circus is very boring because it's around you all the time. I guess it's like if you were from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, you'd be probably so sick of Civil War stuff. And it wasn't until I went to college and I started talking about my upbringing to other people that people said, well, that's interesting. You should tell about that. So my teacher said, well, you're from that weird circus town that you talk about sometimes. Why don't you write about that? And I'm like, oh, God, I hate that place. I'm going to write about that. He goes, no, seriously, I want you to go back there and dig around and, you know, see what you can find. And I went back, and it was the first time I'd ever gone back to Peru as a writer, not as a former citizen. And I went to the local museum where the elephant skull was and got my picture taken and told the curator there. I said, I want to see stuff about the circus in this town. I mean, I grew up here, and I don't know anything about it. And she went back in the back, and she brought me boxes and boxes. And it was almost as if the town had been waiting for somebody to write about their place.
Once you started opening up these old cartons of stuff, was there a thing that galvanized you?
They were mostly photographs. Like in the book, there's an old photograph that goes with each of the stories. And many of those photographs were pictures that I found that day on that trip. And like the picture that goes with the story Winnesaw, the story of the flood in my town. And I had heard about that flood growing up from my grandmother, but I'd never seen photographs, and I'd never really thought about what a flood would do to a bunch of elephants.
What does it do?
One of the sad things about animals held in captivity is that they lose a lot of their natural instincts. And what happened was the circus handlers dove underneath the water to undo the chains that they kept the elephants, you know, they kept them chained up. And they figured that once they did that, the elephants would walk. That, you know, the water wasn't very high at that point. The elephants could have tried to walk to higher ground. But what they did is they walked straight to the homes of their handlers and stood outside the windows and bellowed, you know, expecting to be fed or taken care of, because every problem that they had in life had always been solved by those human beings before. And so the handlers tried feeding them out the windows and trying to throw things at them to get them to go away, and they wouldn't. And they finally just sank down into the water. They died of exposure because the water was so cold. And then when the waters receded, there they were, just sitting, laying there outside the homes of the people that had cared for them.
Was this before or after your great-great-uncle was killed?
This was after. My uncle died in 1901, and this was the big flood of 1913. I read that story and people cry.
No, it is. It's very sad. And of course, that man's best friend dependency of waiting to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Day is the author of The Circus in Winter.